It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field, into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown! He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary!
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do! Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one. Down the middle of the field, into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
With Lance Meadow on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, presented by Andrew Mark. You can listen on Giants.com or on the Giants mobile app. Make sure you download it from your iTunes Marketplace, anywhere you want to go, check it out. You could take this show on the go on all the other Giants.com content as well. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Giants and Cowboys coming your way tomorrow night right here on Giants.com. And, of course, at MetLife Stadium, the opening to the 2012 regular season. And, Lance, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, I'm just excited that we finally don't have to break down the fifth defensive end on the team, the fourth linebacker, the third cornerback. We finally get to some real football, football that counts. The division rivalry will be renewed. It's an important game for the Giants to set the tone and try to build off last season's Super Bowl victory and a hungry Cowboys team, which clearly had two heartbreaking losses to the Giants last season.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can send in your questions to hashtag Giants Chat. And Lance, why waste any time? Let's go right to the phones, and let's say hello to Richard in Rahway, New Jersey. What's up, Richard?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, pal?
I wanted to know, do you think Brandon Carr is overrated because of the weak quarterback play in his division last season?
Well, I mean, most of the scouts that I've talked to around the league tell me Brandon Carr is a legit number one cornerback, but I think he'll have the biggest test of his career this season playing in the NFC East, going up against the likes of Akeem Nix, Victor Cruz, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, and all those guys.
We did lose Rich. I agree. I mean, Brandon Carr teamed up with Brandon Flowers last year, yep. And the Chiefs had one of the top secondaries before they got decimated by injuries. So, you know, from Dallas's perspective, remember, it's an upgrade simply because of what they had to deal with last season when they had Terrence Newman and a secondary that was not just decimated by injuries, specifically Mike Jenkins, but, you know, the passing yards don't lie. I mean, Dallas was at the bottom of the barrel when it came to the amount of passing yards that they gave up every game. So they're now turning to Carr, who I think is going to at least put them in the right direction, and Morris Claiborne, who's a rookie, he's not going to be a savior overnight, but on paper, this Dallas secondary looks a lot better than it was last season. They still got Gerald Sensabaugh's back, and they are now bringing in Barry Church, who was pretty much a backup last season and was also put on IR in December, but, you know, this is four new guys that the Giants really haven't had an opportunity to look at on film together at once. So from that perspective, it's going to be somewhat of a test for the Giants tomorrow.
Yeah, and talking to people around the league, they're actually pretty happy with the job Barry Church has done stepping in at that safety spot next to Gerald Sensabaugh. But remember, too, Morris Claiborne is just a rookie. He's never played in a regular season NFL game, and I'm sure people are tired of me making this comparison, but I'll continue doing it because I think it makes sense. Last year when the Giants saw Patrick Peterson in Week 4, they beat him a couple times. They kind of ate him up a little bit on that side of the field. But if you watch Patrick Peterson 5 or 6 weeks later, he had turned into one of the best cornerbacks in football. Now, you're getting Morris Claiborne here with even less experience than Patrick Peterson. He missed a couple of preseason games with an MCL injury. Much like Peterson last year, because of the lockout/strike, they didn't have OTAs or minicamp. Well, Claiborne missed all of OTAs and minicamp. I think, a broken foot, something like that this year?
Yeah,
whatever
he's been
it was.
Battling injuries.
Exactly. So he wasn't there for that. So he's a very inexperienced player, and despite the natural talent, he hasn't gone to the point here where he can really, you know, get into the groove and be ready for the NFL. And if I'm the Giants, I do go after Morris Claiborne. It's his first ever NFL game. He's never seen guys like Victor Cruz and Akeem Nix at full speed in a game before. Let's test him. Let's see what he's got.
Well, I think they got to test the whole secondary, John, based on last season's numbers. You got to see how well they've improved. But you're right. If I'm Eli Manning and company, I'm definitely going to go after Maurice Claiborne right from the start. And if I'm Tony Romo, I'm going to test Michael Coe.
Sure.
Not that Michael Coe's a rookie, but remember, he's new to the group too. And if he matches up with Dez Bryant or Miles Austin on certain situations, you know, Romo's going to look to take advantage from that perspective. So, you know, I think there's going to be testing on both fronts from the Giants and the Cowboys' perspective. But Maurice Claiborne, you know, he's going to have a learning curve. It's not going to be an easy adjustment right from week one, and this certainly is going to be his biggest test thus far because, you know, you hear it a lot from all the so-called experts, but the pace of the game picks up from the preseason to the regular season. It's nice to get your feet wet in the preseason, but all of a sudden, week one, things start to pick up the pace. You get a different caliber of talent that you're going to have to go up against. And I think having Reuben Randall on the roster, and he talked a great deal about this throughout the course of the week since he was LSU teammates with Maurice Claiborne, you know, he knows some of his tricks of the trade for Claiborne and what he'll bring to the table. So, you know, having a slight edge from that perspective, I think will help the Giants receiving core as a whole to see what they can do to get the best of a guy like Claiborne.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 201-939-4513. But I think the point you made that was really the most salient one, Lance, and that's last year, the reason the Giants were able to eat the Cowboys up and beat them up the way they did was by beating their secondary and really blowing it up. And the Cowboys saw that, and they really, I think, in the offseason said, look, we don't want the Giants to slap us around anymore. So they brought in Carr. They drafted Claiborne. They got rid of their second safety, Abram Elam, who didn't play well for them last year. They kept Sensible in place because they signed him to that contract extension. But they really revamped that entire secondary in large part to beat the Giants. And you hear Jerry Jones' quote in the offseason, you know, we're going to kick their you-know-whats. Is it a pep rally? What else is the guy going to say? And that's why I don't think the Giants are taking it very seriously. Whenever they're asked about it in the locker room, they all poo-poo it. So we'll do the same thing here. We'll take the lead from the players and the coaches here. But it'll be interesting to see whether or not their revamp has been successful because we could very well see Wednesday night Eli Manning go back to work once again, Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz running wild, and all of a sudden the Cowboys are back to the drawing board and they still have the same exact weakness they had last year.
Manning threw for over 700 yards in
seven
both of those
touchdowns.
Meetings. I mean, those numbers tell the whole story. So Dallas certainly knows priority number one, keep Eli Manning, contain him for the most part, and don't let him get into his zone, specifically in the pocket. They also brought in Brodney Poole, the Cowboys.
Right.
I'm not saying that he's made a big impact against the Giants, given what Ahmad Bradshaw did to him
last
season.
Well, Ahmad Bradshaw made a big impact on Brodney Poole.
Well said. So Brodney Poole is somewhat familiar with the Giants. He'll add some depth to that safety spot, and they also have Orlando Scandrick, who's been with the team. But it is. For the most part, it's really a cluster of a bunch of new guys that they're throwing out there. So, you know, when you look at film, you can only at this point, if you're the Giants, if you want to see all four together on the field at the same point, look at the preseason games. And that doesn't give you much, John, because they're not playing all four quarters when it comes to the preseason games. You basically need to look at them as individuals. Maybe you study some of the Chiefs games based on what Brandon Carr has done in terms of his tendencies. Claiborne, you can look at LSU. You can hear stories from Reuben Randall. But tomorrow really is going to be the first look for the Giants that they're going to see all four of these guys and the different type of strategies that Rob Ryan's going to throw out there. I would assume, given that they have a new nucleus of players, he's going to be aggressive, and I think he's going to take his fair share of chances. I'm talking about Ryan with maybe some of the blitz packages and maybe being more confident in guys like Claiborne and Carr more so than Terrence Newman and Mike Jenkins, who were banged up with injuries last season, and clearly they struggled in their one-on-one matchups.
And we'll continue to break down this game, and specifically on the other side of the field, the Giants pass up against what's a pretty weak Cowboys offensive line, which is another going to be a big issue in this game. But for now, let's go back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Len's down in Maryland. What's up, Len?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
What's up, pal?
Doing well, Len.
Hey, well, listen, first of all, maybe you can help me out. I'm out on Route 120, and they won't let me in the parking lot. Hey, come on. It's less than 36 hours to game time.
Len, come on now, man. What, are you going to hang out outside for the next 36 hours?
Oh, come on, man. I'm really excited about this game. I'm just kidding you.
Of course.
You can probably figure that out.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to get excited.
And well, you should be.
So.
The regular season's finally here, man. We're sick of watching games that don't really count. We're going to get to see
yes.
Real football.
Yes, indeed. Real football. Listen, you just alluded this, so you took away one of the things I wanted to talk about, but I think the weakness in that Dallas defense is really at the safety position. I think, you know, three wide receivers, we're going to be running free in that backfield. We're going to be running free down the field. I think Eli can have a big night if he, as you alluded to, if he gets, you know, reasonable amount of protection. I think Cruz coming out of the slot position, boy, it's almost going to be unstoppable tomorrow night. The only thing I'm really worried about, guys, on special teams, I'm worried about, you know, Dallas has always been a good special teams group. And that coach, who was here for a while, Dee Camillus.
He's a good coach.
He's a darn good coach. And I'm just worried about kicks getting blocked. Punts, you know, critical situation, a punt getting blocked, field goal getting blocked. I'm just not confident in their blocking schemes on special teams. In fact, who's the up back on the punt team with Sash not on the roster at the moment? Is it Andre Brown?
They worked a bunch of different guys in that spot. Stevie Brown's one guy they worked in that position. Andre Brown's another one. I think that's kind of a wait-and-see scenario. And quite frankly, Len, I think it's also a wait-and-see scenario to see who the return guys are.
Talking to
Tom Quinn yesterday in the Giants locker room, or what was it, Sunday, I think, that right now there are still a bunch of guys in the mix for both kick and punt, and the competition's almost going to continue into the regular season. So I think you're going to see Jernigan, you're going to see Randall. I think you could see David Wilson on kicks. Hixon can do both as well. I think you're going to see a real mix
Hosley
of guys
too.
Here. Hosley as well once he gets more healthy.
We're probably going to have to sit one of the six wide receivers tomorrow night. He's not going to get a jersey. Who do you think that is?
I think it's going to be Barden.
Okay.
Only because all the other guys are more useful on special teams.
Okay, guys. Hey, root them in. Looking forward to the game.
Len, right, appreciate it, man. 201-939-4513. Good to hear from Len.
Yeah.
Back in the saddle for the regular season.
And if memory serves me correct, I think Len called up last week and said this team could potentially post 13 victories.
I believe he did say that. Speaking of which, I want to go to Twitter here. Now, Devin Scott agrees. He wants to say 16-0. He says 13-3. That's at Devin423. Then we have a couple interesting records. We have Mike sends in his predicted Giants record of 12-3. Apparently, one game's going to get canceled for some reason. not quite sure how that works. Maybe
we're working out the kinks in the mathematics department.
Yeah, and then I have the 9-5, which apparently going to have two games that are going to be canceled. Yeah. All right, folks. Maybe we should have been more specific. In a 16-game regular season schedule, what do you think the Giants' record is going to be? You can send in your predictions to hashtag Giants Chat. Can't be any worse than what we've gotten.
Either the Redskins, the Eagles, or the Cowboys dropped out of the division. I wasn't aware. I didn't get
just
that memo.
Quit. They figured, you know what? They're too good.
Two less games for the Giants. Yeah. Just pencil it in.
Oh, man. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. And, of course, you can send in your questions and whatever on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to them. So,
I mean, granted, I know the fans are excited, but come on, 16 games on the schedule. Let's go. Let's go, Giants fans. Get your act together.
This isn't exactly rocket science we're doing here, you know. Break out the calculators, folks. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Liam in New Jersey. Liam, what's going on, pal?
Oh, hi.
Hi, Liam.
I just want to talk about Reuben Randall Morris Claiborne. I know that they were roommates back in college at LSU. How can they possibly... What can Reuben Randall benefit from that, and what can Reuben Randall know about Morris Claiborne?
Well, you know what? I don't think it's just Reuben Randall, Liam. I think it's all the Giants wide receivers, and Reuben Randall can give him a bit of an insight into some of the, you know, little eccentricities, the ins, the outs, the, you know, the small technique things that Morris Claiborne does to be successful. You heard him on Giants.com. You can check it out right now if you go to the Media Vault section. And, you know, Reuben Randall talks about the fact that Claiborne likes to get physical. He'll bump guys. He likes to get his hands on you. You can do that more in college than you can in the NFL with the rules, mind you. But he's a physical corner. He's a big guy, stronger than he looks. And, you know, the Giants receivers, rather, will have a little bit of an advantage because of those little insights from Reuben Randall.
And the reason he knows so much, keep in mind, Randall goes up against Claiborne in practice every single day with LSU.
Yeah.
I mean, the top wide receiver is going to go up against the top corner, and that's why I think that he can add to the conversation in that receiving room and certainly pass on some of the tricks of the trade, as I like to call them, for Claiborne. The other thing he mentioned about that you can't get Claiborne to open up his hips because, you know, that's going to allow him to jump on the route and maybe get an inside track for an interception.
He's a great – in college, he was a great ball hawker. He knows how to get those picks.
Listen, there was a reason why he was drafted so high.
Well, I'll tell you what. No wonder that LSU defense was impossible to score against. When you have those two corners back there, Peterson and Claiborne, together for a year, good Lord. How are you supposed to score on that? That's crazy. Not to mention the guys in the defensive line that can rush the passer.
And it goes back to what we discussed so often last season for the Giants. You know, it's complementary between the secondary and the defensive front. You don't get the pass rush, the secondary struggles, the secondary has missed assignments, then the pass rush is going to break down. So that's key for the Giants heading into this season to really have that 11-man unit in sync. And I think the fact that, you know, you never want to see anybody get hurt, but the fact that Coe has been out there throughout the preseason gives them somewhat of an upper hand. He's been there. He's done that, as opposed to Prince going down maybe 2 days before the first game, and all of a sudden you're throwing in Michael Coe on the first team.
Well, remember, he's a veteran, too. I mean, you know, he's been in this league for a while. He has played in the league. Yeah, he has had some injuries, you sure. But it's not like he's a first-year, second-year undrafted free agent that, you know, you're throwing into the mix and keeping your fingers crossed. Michael Coe has a clue of what he's doing here.
But it's also one thing to study the film and make sure you understand your assignments. A whole other thing, get out on the field and see where everybody's placed, know where the safeties are in conjunction to you. So the fact that he's had a couple of reps in the preseason, that's only going to benefit him throughout the course of this
year. There's no teaching tool quite like playing in the games. 201-939-4513. Let's go down to Dallas and say hello to Bill, who's chilling out in enemy territory. What's up, Bill?
Hey, what's happening?
What's up, Bill?
I got all my flags out. I got all my Go Giants signs out. My neighbors have threatened to toilet paper my yard, but that's okay. I'm ready for tomorrow.
Hey, Bill, as long as all they're doing is threatening toilet paper, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, as long as there's no bricks.
Yeah.
Hey, my question was, who's going to be the third running back for the Giants?
You know what? That's actually a really good question. Because you figure only three are going to be active on a given game day. The fourth guy will be deactivated. My guess is that it's going to be Andre Brown. Now, in the depth chart, the Giants released Darrell Scott as listed as the number one kick returner. But that's obviously just something they release, and it's not always, you know, the way they actually do things here. I think Andre Brown outplayed Darrell Scott in the preseason. That's just my opinion. So if I had to guess, I think it'll be Andre Brown. Lance, what do you think?
Well, the only thing that I would think would play an X factor is who do they feel could make a stronger contribution on special teams.
And Darrell Scott did have that big block punt in the preseason.
And that's why I would not be surprised if Scott is active versus Brown. But the other factor to weigh, David Wilson, even though he's a first-round pick, doesn't have much experience. Do they want to get a guy out there who at least has somewhat of an edge in the experience department? And I'd give that to Andre Brown even over Darrell Scott, even though Brown's been hurt. He's at least been around the league.
And I think he's also probably a little bit better at things like, you know, pass protection and, you know, things like that, okay?
Yeah, good. Thank you much.
Hey, appreciate it, Bill. He's a little dangerous there. Flying the Giant flags down there in Texas?
Well, I can imagine.
Posse might show up and, like, you try to, you know, I don't know.
I find it hard to believe that there's other Giants fans on his block. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, probably not.
In the heart of Big D, I would assume it's Cowboys territory.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Dave up in the Bronx. That's Giants territory. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, happy to. Good morning.
Hey, thank you. Got a quick question. I know it's been talked about quite a bit, but I was wondering about the offensive line and getting a push off the line of scrimmage and being able to run the ball. How do you think they're going to do this year? And I just wanted to say, on a side note, I think the Giants are going to go 10-6.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a tough division. I think they're going to sweep the Redskins. I think they're going to sweep the Cowboys. I think they're going to split with the Eagles. And I just want to say the Giants linebacking crew is probably the deepest I've seen it in the past few years. I mean, there's a lot of depth in the linebacker position. I think Jerry Reese did an unbelievable job in getting Keith Rivers for a fifth-round pick. I think he's going to be huge for the Giants, Chase being back this year, you know. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on running the ball, Darrell Scott, too, and the offensive line, and if they're going to be able to get any kind of push off that line. Thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate it, and I think he makes a lot of good points.
And
good
kudos
call.
To Dave for going 10-6. That equals 16 games. So we're making some progress here at Giants.com.
Well, no, but we are, and I think 10-6 is a good target number for the Giants.
I would agree.
Because I do think 10-6 will win you this division this year. So I think 10-6 is a good number to go for. Like he said, the schedule is extremely tough, but 10-6 I think is a realistic good number to aim for, and I think that those 10 wins, especially if they go 4-2 in the division like he described, That'll help you in the tiebreaker area. I think 10-6, 4-2 NFC East will win you that division.
Last season was a rare occurrence when a team with a 9-7 record won the division. That does not happen very often.
Almost a team that was 8-8 won the division if things would have went differently the last few weeks.
Especially with the Eagles surge late in the year. So you're right. I think 10-6 is certainly not just an optimistic view, but a reasonable view. He brought up the play of the offensive line. The Giants were dead last in running the football last season. So it can't get any worse, Giants fans. Let's look at it from that perspective.
But they still won the Super Bowl.
True.
How about that?
Well, but they did turn things around in the postseason. You know, we point to 32 in rushing in the postseason. I know there's not as many teams, but the ranking in terms of the rushing game was much better.
They were better, but they weren't exactly pounding the ball like it was 2007 again with Earth, Wind, and Fire rushing for 185 yards a game either. They were barely at 4 yards a carry. I don't even think they were, to be honest with you. I'd have to check it. And they were barely over 100 yards per game. So this is anything that you're going to write home about. In fact, why don't you talk here? I'm going to look up to see what the Giants' actual yards per game were in the playoffs lines.
Well, I think that they'll certainly get a push as long as this offensive line stays healthy. The big storyline for the offensive line heading into the season is if Beattie is not ready to go, and he has been at practice the last few days, and Sean Locklear needs to take over at that left tackle spot.
Beattie limited in practice, by the way.
Assuming they don't move David Deal back to the left side, that's obviously still an option. Locklear, you know, for the most part, I think has had a solid preseason, but you know, we got to see how he performs come the regular season. He's a veteran presence. It's not as if they're throwing out a rookie there. When you look at the depth behind a guy like Locklear, their only other option is Brewer, but Brewer's been hurt during the preseason. So, you know, if somebody else goes down, then I could see that being a troubling aspect. I think they'll, you know, certainly be able to get this offense a better balance this season compared to last year. I don't really think that there's any concern. I think the big thing from last year was the fact that they weren't able to stay healthy, and you had different offensive linemen playing musical chairs. Remember, David Bosse, who's an important position when it comes to setting the tone for the running game, he was hurt. He wasn't even in every game. The fact that he's healthy, you've got Booth and Snead healthy at the guard spots, and Deal is a versatile player because he can move around. I know he did struggle somewhat last year. I don't see why they would have the same struggles that they did last season. I expect this Giants running game to come out strong. Are they going to have one 100 game after the other from an individual? I don't know about that, but I think the numbers are going to balance out much better than they did last season. And that's assuming, once again, that everyone stays healthy.
And it looks like, by the way, Locklear will stay at that left tackle spot. We had a chance to talk to Coach Coughlin about that the other day, and they're just frankly thrilled with the job Locklear's done out there, and they don't see a reason really to move Deal out to that left side. They'll keep him there, and if Beattie can't go, looks like he is going to try to play on Wednesday. He's been limited in practice, hasn't taken a ton of snaps, but if he can't go, Locklear's going to be out there on the left side showing a lot of faith. And here's the running stats. Last year in the playoffs, the Giants averaged about 116 yards per game and 4.2 average on the ground. That puts them at 15th and 16th in the league if you take those numbers, you know, put them into the regular season. So it's certainly an improvement.
Yeah.
They would like to be better still, obviously, but it certainly is a jump over number 32 in the NFL during the regular season. 201-939-4513. Yeah, buddy, Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. What's up, Tim?
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Will Marlon Austin and Prince Amukamara return for week 2 against the Buccaneers?
Tim, why are we looking ahead here? They aren't going to play on Wednesday, which I assume you know, considering you're asking about week 2. I think you got a better chance of Marvin Austin in week 2 than you do Prince. Though I put Prince, I don't know what, 40-60 he's not going to play, so 60% chance that he won't play, 40% chance that he will in week 2. Those high ankles are just tricky things. And frankly, I think you got to see how the secondary does. If they're really, really poor, maybe you push them a little bit. But if they do a good job against Dallas, why not? Let the kid heal. Let him come back 100%. You know what I mean?
It's early in the season. There's no point to rushing him back, and then, God forbid, he re-aggravates it, and then instead of it becoming a 1 to 2 week injury, you lose him for 10. I want to get to Twitter here, John, because we have one of your favorite questions. That's why I am so excited to read this question. It's in relation to Ramsey's Barden and his height, which I know you are so passionate about. Devin Scott writes, do you think Ramsey's can have a breakout year if he can consistently get more opportunities on the field? You can't teach 6'6". Your thoughts, sir? I'm going to sit back and enjoy.
Boy. Folks, look, you could be 6'6", you could be 7'6". If you can't create separation and you can't get open, I'm not saying Ramsey's board, he can't. He clearly had a good preseason, he earned his way into the roster. But this magic silver bullet or magic pill or magic beans that people seem to think that being 6'6 is on the football field, folks, it's important. I get that. And it helps you around the goal line a little bit. I get that. But just because you're 6'6 doesn't mean that you're going to be good. And I hate to tell you, right now, Barden, I'll list the guys in terms of playing wide receiver. He's behind Nakeem Nicks. He's behind Victor Cruz. He's behind Dominique Hickson. I think he's behind Reuben Randall. So right now, at best, he's your fourth receiver. At worst, he's your fifth as a wide receiver. And Jernigan might actually be ahead of him on the depth chart because Jernigan's more useful on special teams than Barden is. So as much as you want to see Barden out there and you want to see him produce and you want to see him do a good job, the opportunities just aren't going to be there. I know the question is if he has more consistent opportunities, and if you have an injury, maybe he will. But right now, you're not. And you earn your way onto the field by doing it in practice and in the games. And did he have a decent preseason? Sure. But he didn't do enough to tell the coaches that he should be playing ahead of Dominique Hickson or Victor Cruz or Akeem Nicks or Reuben Randall. And the coaches don't really have practice. They watch the practice tape. They're looking at the stuff two and three times to make these decisions. And I hate to say this, and maybe I'm out of place by saying it, but Giant fans that still think that in year four, Ramsey's Barden is going to become this Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver, that ship sailed. Can he be an effective contributing NFL player and be a good NFL wide receiver? Sure. But if you think he's going to be Akeem Nicks or Victor Cruz at this point, odds are, I'm not saying it can't, but odds are at this point, that's not going to happen. We're a little too far into it for that to occur at this point.
You figure he did enough to secure a roster spot.
Correct.
In the preseason.
And he did. He played well.
But moving up the depth chart is a whole other story.
Right.
He now has to earn that. And in terms of whether or not the ship has sailed, you know, there was a golden opportunity this offseason, John, with Mario Manningham out of the picture and Dominique Hickson working his way back from a season-ending injury. The Giants are saying to themselves, do we have options internally to fill those voids, or do we need to look externally via free agency in the draft? Well, they did look in the draft. They brought in Reuben Randall in the second round. That was an indication to Ramsey's Barden that we're not so confident in your level of consistency. And Randall has looked pretty good in the preseason. He also adds that special teams dimension, which is a factor that affects Ramsey's Barden. As John just pointed out, when they look at who they want active and inactive on game day, they've got to weigh the depth that they have at wide receiver. And if he's not going to get on the field as a wide receiver, then he's going to have to chip in on special teams. And right now, I don't know if I'd put Ramsey's Barden ahead of some of those other wideouts, such as the Hicksons, the Jernigans, and the Randalls, and even some of the running backs who are fighting to be active. That's what hurts him. Are you going to activate a guy who you think is just going to give you a threat when you're within the 20? That really limits his production value.
No, he's not necessarily a guy that can only be effective within the 20s, though, either. He's a guy that can, you know, catch balls down the field, in the middle of the field, over the middle, slants, you know, in routes, whatever, dig routes.
But if you line up three receivers, is Barden in that equation consistently?
Well, he hasn't been in the preseason or in practice. It's been Hickson.
And Hickson is going to be out there tomorrow. And
sure,
unless Hickson gets hurt, there's really not much of an opportunity. The way Barden needs to make a name for himself is where Giants fans don't get an opportunity to see him. That's at practice, where he's got to make plays, he's got to be aggressive, he's got to beat his respective teammates. If he doesn't do that week in and week out, he's not going to give the coaching staff a reason to be active.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Jason out in Montana. What's up, Jason?
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good morning, pal. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Hey, listen, I know you don't have a crystal ball, so you can't really look in the future or anything like that, but let me ask you this.
He would disagree with you.
the one thing I do have is a bald head, so that I might be able to use that to look into the future a little bit. All right, but Jason, go ahead.
All right, so two questions. One, where do you think the Giants have improved the most on offense? Hmm. And also, where do you think the Giants have improved the most on defense? Let's make it three questions. And at the end of the season, what do you think is going to be the one thing that we can say the Giants improved in?
All right, Jason.
And that's all.
All right, Jason. All right. Hang with us here. I want to leave you up because I think those are three good questions. I'm going to take the easy one. I'm going to stick Lance with the tough one. I'm going to go with defense, and I think where they've improved the most has to be a linebacker, just because all the guys that were here last year are a year older. They have a year more experience. You bring in a guy like Keith Rivers, who stayed healthy, was a top 10 pick, has played extremely well. I think on defense, that's where you've improved the most. at linebacker. As for offense, and Lance, I guess I'll leave this to you as I think about it a little bit more. It's almost hard to improve, only because the team was so good offensively last year and they were so effective. I guess I'd have to go with adding David Wilson and being a little bit more explosive in the running game.
Yeah, I was going to point in that direction. I think that they've added some depth and versatility with respect to the running game. And the fact that the offensive line is healthy, I'm not saying that that's necessarily an improvement, but it's certainly a step in the right direction because the offensive line plays such a key role in igniting that running game. And, I mean, if you want to even go deeper with respect to the receiving game, you could maybe even argue they have more depth this season than they had last year. Because if Hixon can stay healthy, Randall certainly is a promising prospect. And, you know, a guy that we just talked about, Barden, if he can find a way to make some type of an impact, you can make the argument they have a lot more options than they did last season. So maybe more balance, more versatility overall as a whole for the offense.
What do we think about Martellus Bennett? I mean, I'm really excited about him. He's his character looks really good, and he's shown some good things.
Well, he's a character. Of that, there's absolutely no question. And, you know, when he first got here, the first couple practices, he was hurt in the offseason. Then first few practices of training camp, I was not impressed. I thought he looked slow. But he really caught on, and he's played well. And I feel a lot better about the Martellus Bennett just now than I did back in the spring. I think he could have a pretty solid season and be better than Jake Ballard was last year.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. You guys have a good one.
I appreciate it, Jason. Thanks a lot. Jason's become one of our consistent callers out there in Montana.
And the one thing I want to note with respect to Martellus Bennett, that's why I feel a lot better about the offensive line this year.
Because Bennett's a better blocker?
There we go.
Yeah.
You know, Jake Ballard, you know, certainly in slow motion gave us some balance in the passing game, but he's not the type of blocker that Martellus Bennett is.
Martellus Bennett,
you want to talk about 6'6 with Ramsey's Barden? How about Bennett?
That's true.
Bennett's not a small guy.
No.
He's that sixth offensive lineman. So I like the fact that he's going to be there to help get that running game going. That's a huge bonus for the Giants that they did not have last year.
And that's one of the reasons they brought him in from Dallas. They knew he was a superior blocker to help with that running game. And in Dallas, that's the one thing that he did well, and everyone knew he did well, was block. And if he can give you, as Jerry Reese said in the preseason up in training camp, I believe it was to Dan Graziano, if I remember properly, that whatever Bennett gives you the passing game is a bonus. Not that they don't expect him to contribute there, but they want him to block, seal that edge, get the running game going, and he's certainly capable of doing that.
And what he can do for a guy like David Wilson, who doesn't mind running off the edge, and even Bradshaw. You know, there was a question we had earlier in the show about getting that extra push off the offensive line. Bennett could very well be the X factor. You look at everybody on the line, how about what Bennett can do if you run certain plays in his direction? I think that certainly is going to be a big bonus and a big, X factor for the Giants. Don't overlook the fact of Bennett in the blocking scheme, not just what he can do as an extra receiver for Eli Manning.
And, of course, Bear Pascal, very versatile as well, on the line, out of the backfield as an H-back role. He does that really well, too. Let's not forget about the Bear. 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. A couple good questions coming in from Anthony Mongaluzzo. I think I got that right. Let's check out this one. When do you think Martellus Bennett will be the starting tight end? Now, he says that because on the Giants depth chart, Bear Pascal was, again, listed as the starter. But, folks, I'm telling you, don't take anything on that depth chart too seriously. It's something the NFL requires that teams release. I mean, if Martellus walked out there as the starter on the first play in week one, I wouldn't be surprised by that. But, frankly, it depends on the package. You might have both tight ends out there on the first play on Wednesday night. So who really the starter is, I wouldn't get your head wrapped up around
play.
That.
I mean, that's the way to look at things.
Yep.
They're both going to be in the mix. The Giants are going to turn to both of those guys to contribute because they need both of them in the long run,
sure,
especially with the type of injuries that this team has gone through. So I really wouldn't get caught up with who's starting and who's not. And you know what? I'll throw out the Redskins as the perfect example. With the way Mike Shanahan is so indecisive in terms of who's going to start at running back each and every week.
Someone's frustrated in their fantasy football drafts.
Well, I'm not alluding to that necessarily, but it can impact fantasy people. But just from pure reality perspective, they've got three talented running backs. Evan Royster yesterday was revealed as the number one running back. Who's to say that Roy Helu doesn't start by week three? So don't read so much into
week
these
three.
Early season
He might start
starts.
The second half of game one.
Well, there we go. That's
it's
the
true.
Redskins summary for you.
And that was after Helu really outperformed Royster in the preseason. Now, he rushed for, 120 yards or 95 yards that final preseason game, something like that. So, yeah, it's interesting. Real interesting. Another question in from Anthony. We'll stick with him for now. Will Andre Brown be a factor on the goal line? I'm going to say no, only because I think the Giants like Ahmad Bradshaw on the goal, and I think they like his power. He's shown proven to be pretty good in short yardage. I think you'll see Ahmad Bradshaw inside the fives.
Yeah, Bradshaw's going to be the power guy that they're going to turn to. You're going to see, you know, David Wilson in the mix in between the 20s, and Andre Brown may get a carry or two, but you have to look back at what they did with respect to Bradshaw, Jacobs, and DJ Ware last season. Yep. Ware was mostly that third down back. Jacobs was the goal line for the most part. I think Bradshaw fills in for Jacobs as opposed to keeping Bradshaw where he was last season and having somebody else fill the void of Jacobs.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. This one coming in from Matteo Ometi. Wants to know about David Douglas. Why did he not make the 53? He thinks he's better than Jernigan. Well, look, I understand there's a lot of hype about David Douglas, and he admittedly did have a very good training camp. But Jarrell Jernigan's a second-year player, and he was a third-round pick. You're simply not going to jettison a guy like that who you clearly think has a lot of talent in favor of a guy like Douglas, who the Giants, in the end, were able to sneak onto their practice squad. You would not have been able to, A, sneak Jernigan onto it, also because he's not eligible, because he's played too many games in the NFL already, to be on that practice squad, I believe. I double-checked that. I think that's true, though, because he was active for a bunch of games last year. But so you keep Douglas, you stash him, you mold him here as part of the Giants organization, you get him ready for next season, and then Jernigan can contribute on things like special teams over the course of the regular season.
My answer to Matteo would be, or my question rather to him, does David Douglas give you more than Jarrell Jernigan in the receiving game? You can make the argument that Douglas is key in special teams.
Well, Jernigan's a return guy in punt and kick. Douglas has only done punt.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's why these are the type of things that the Giants coaching staff weighs.
Right.
You know, you have to go with the guy that's going to bring more to the table. And I think Douglas is a great talent, but he doesn't bring as much as Jernigan, and that's why they had to give Jernigan the edge over Douglas. And certainly where he was drafted played a big role, too. They're not going to cut an early pick so early in the game at this point.
201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Brian's in Virginia. What's up, Brian?
Yes, do you think the Giants should give Plaxico Burress another chance?
He's got that height again, John. You know you like him. You like those guys that are 6'6".
People are just trying to get me upset. I really think that's what's going on here. People are just going to try to get me upset. And people on the message boards, they enjoy this because they like to see me go off on these guys. Burress? Really? 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 Why? Where are you going to play this guy? There's a reason nobody's signing him. If he was so good, why is he not on a roster? You had two guys combine for almost 3,000 receiving yards last year, almost 20 touchdowns, probably more than that, actually, now that I think about it, 165 catches, and you want Burress. The guy who the last time you're coming off a Super Bowl championship destroyed your season. That's what you want to do. Maybe you could have height contests between him and Ramsey's Barton and see who's taller.
Yeah, it's not the right move, and you know what John.
Well,
I'll leave it politely at that.
Century.
Well, what John just touched on was the fact that you're right. The last time the Giants won the Super Bowl, remember, you know, they got off to an extremely good start. It looked like they were going to cruise into the postseason, and then all of a sudden, the Plaxico off the field issue certainly impacted their run and halted that.
Giants.
I'd rather see Ramsey's Barden get 8 more tries and see what he can do than bring in Plaxico.
I'd rather bring Sonoris Moss back.
Boy, talking about names from the past.
Yeah, maybe you can get Tim Carter back, too, at that point. You can start
they don't
guys.
Need Plaxico Burress. And you know what? When somebody throws that name out, you need to make the case as to what you're concerned about in the Giants' passing game.
Yeah, there's
at this
nothing
point.
Wrong with the Giants' receiving corps. Nothing.
I don't understand at this, especially with the depth on paper at least. You've got Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz looking to build off of what he did last season. Dominic Hickson is healthy. Where are the holes in the Giants
round
receiving
pick
game?
Ruben Randle. Yeah, two third-round picks, Barden and Jernigan.
You know, if they had a need for maybe a third weapon, I could understand people trying to reach for a veteran.
Right.
But call up and tell me what you're so concerned about with regard to the Giants receiving corps, because I'm not seeing many question marks.
Brian, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. But, boy, Burress, that that ship sailed along with every other ship that we've spoken about so far today. But, you know, and the thing about it is, too, look at it this way. Top two receivers. You could make the argument that the Giants have the best top two receivers in the league. If you want to say the Falcons might be better with Roddy White and Julio Jones, all right, maybe I'll buy that, whatever. But if you want to go one through four receivers.
Don't forget Harry Douglas, by the way.
Don't forget Harry. See, he remembers Harry Douglas. But if you want to go receivers one through four, or even expand it, one through six, I will take the Giants' six wide receivers over any other wide receiver core one through six in the NFL, period. I will take the Giants up and down. And you know what? If I sign Burris, I'm taking him off the number one list.
I got to read another tweet from Devin Scott. He's becoming my favorite tweeter here. Radio gold seeing you get upset. It's good rating going on when we mention the 6'6 guys. Good ranting, right?
Okay, good.
So, there you go.
At least I'm entertaining people. That's
what we
something,
aim for.
Right? 201-939-4513. I want to go back to Twitter here. This one from Jeff Kesting. How much involvement do you think David Wilson will have in the game against the Cowboys tomorrow night? I think you might see him do kicks. I think that's a possibility. Now, if he's your 1A, 1B running back, do you want that guy returning kicks, risking injury? I don't know. We'll see. I think there's a chance you'll see David Wilson return a kick or two. One. Two, I think you'll see him get around 10 carries, and I think you'll also see him kind of using a couple screen situations. You want to get him into space to make some big plays, some draw plays, things like that. So I'd say you're looking at anywhere from 10 to 15 touches for David Wilson in the game tomorrow night.
And speaking of screen plays, that's an area of the offense that, if you're a Giants fan, you'd like to see improve.
Well, can't get any worse.
Huh, I mean, like the running game. But the fact that DJ Ware, who is primarily used on most of those screen passes, out of the equation, David Wilson could be a guy that fills in. And
good
I can
point.
See, certainly, if he gets some open space, that's scary for opposing defenses of what they're going to have to deal with. So Wilson is a guy that certainly can ignite things regarding that third down, perhaps, screen play.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Anthony Mongaluzzo sends in another question. Why'd they keep Barron over David Douglas or Stanback? And I think the reason they did, Anthony, was he was a third-round pick. He was a guy that they believe could help you as a receiver. Obviously not as much as on special teams as David Douglas or Stanback. But I think as a receiver, they think Barron is more polished. He knows the system. So if you have a rash of injuries, like they've had, say, a defensive back in the last couple of years, where, knock on wood, Cruz or Nix both go down with hamstrings and they're out 3 to 4 weeks, you can plug Barron in. Is he going to be as explosive or spectacular as those two guys? No. But he'll know the system, he'll know what to do, and Eli Manning can depend on him. And I think that's the reason he's on the roster over those two other guys who are far less consistent as wide receivers at this point.
And that's a great point. You know, familiarity with the playbook is huge. When one guy goes down, you need to have confidence that another guy can come in and fill the void. Look at the corners, for example. You know, if you don't have a guy like Michael Coe, who's familiar with the playbook, even though he's been hurt, who are you going to turn to?
Yeah.
I mean, Hosley is young. He's still digesting the playbook.
Experience counts to a certain extent.
You guess it.
And I think they made that conscious decision with Barton. And that you're obviously not picking him because of his special teams prowess. So you pick him because he's a guy that's been around. And you think if something goes horribly wrong with a wide receiver and you need somebody to step in, he's a guy that can step in right away.
You know, Ramsey's Barton, we've been saying this for weeks. We've been saying this for years. He has an opportunity. He's on the roster. He's got the height, as a lot of Giants fans like to turn to, as a big key for him. It's now his chance to shine when his number is called. But there's only so many opportunities that he's going to get. If he stays healthy, he could be a key contributor on this team. But there's a big if that I preface that statement with. That's been his big issue. Can he stay healthy? Can he be on the practice field day in and day out competing with the other receivers and going up against the Giants' number one and number two teams? If he does that, perhaps a couple of weeks into the season, we'll be talking about Ramsey's Barton making key catches and key contributions. If not, we're going to talk about Ramsey's Barton just being on the roster and adding some depth in case of an injury. Now, Victor Cruz, remember, was a pleasant surprise last season. Nobody expected Victor Cruz to do that. You talk about Victor Cruz, he was this close from not even being on the roster. And look at what Victor Cruz did.
He was a Hickson ACL injury away from not being on the roster.
And then you look a couple of months later back at what he did. Can you imagine if the Giants cut him and didn't give him that opportunity?
They love Victor Cruz so much, they brought back a 36-year-old Brandon Stokley to play the slot. No, they really did. He was starting in practice until he tore his hamstring, and he was out for the year.
Now, what if Stokely was 6'6"? Can you imagine how high you'd be on him? He probably would have lasted at least 2 to 3 more weeks.
That was a good one.
But Victor Cruz, to me, I look at it as an example. Listen, I'm not saying Ramsey's Barton is going to be the next Victor Cruz, but have confidence in the coaching staff, at least, why they keep guys around. Perhaps they see something that if this guy is healthy and his number gets called, who knows what he could come through with. Just keep that in mind. I'm not saying Barton's going to be a big-time factor, but compared to David Douglas and Isaiah Stanback, you got to feel confident in having a guy like Barton on the roster compared to those two who don't give you nearly as much versatility.
You know, it's funny. I thought we'd get more like Giants-Cowboys questions today, previewing the game, rather than something like a lot of these big-picture questions we've been getting.
Well, it's hard at this point because, remember, you look at last season's numbers for even the Cowboys. I'm talking about from a defensive perspective. They've revamped their defense in the secondary, right. So you can't really go by what Dallas gave up last
season.
True,
but I think that speculation's part of the fun, though, isn't it? When you don't quite know what the matchups are going to be and how they're going to work out.
Well, the position that I'm more interested in discussing with respect to the Cowboys is, you know, Jay Ratliff could very well not play. Probably he won't play.
No, I wouldn't think he would.
This
high
is the
ankles
nose tackle.
Take a while. You know, high ankles. You know, that's what Prince has, and that's usually a 3 to 5 week injury.
And let's be honest, if Dallas wants to have any chance in this game to help out at secondary, you got to pressure Eli Manning. Ratliff's out of the picture. The Cowboys
Josh Brent doesn't get you excited?
Not really. But the Cowboys all offseason have been looking for somebody to complement DeMarcus Ware.
Yep.
Ware knows how to get to the quarterback. But the Cowboys' biggest weakness has been who do you put with Ware that can get you at least 12 sacks throughout the season. Nobody's been able to answer that call. With Ratliff down, that hurts Dallas. Another guy that I'm intrigued about with respect to Dallas is Dan Connor, veteran linebacker they brought in from the Panthers to help complement Sean Lee. Lee, who was hurt, and a promising prospect he's a local guy out of Jersey.
I believe they named Bruce Carter the starter at that inside linebacker spot, though, didn't they?
But Connor is still going to be a guy that they're going to turn to.
Correct.
You know, Rob Ryan likes his veterans. Jason Garrett likes his veterans. So don't be surprised to see them mix and match in that position. Dallas' defense, to take the next step, they are going to have to pressure the quarterback. They don't pressure the quarterback consistently this season. I don't care how different this secondary looks, they're not going to have much of a chance. And that's why the key for the Giants' offensive line, keep Eli Manning upright. He'll have an opportunity to throw the football and test this secondary. If he gets pressured and falls to the floor, that's going to give the secondary some opportunities to maybe cash in on the Giants.
201-939-4513. We should mention Jason Witten. We should talk about some injuries here. He's going to have a CT scan today from the last news that I saw. They'll determine how healed that spleen is. Much to Martellus Bennett's chagrin, he will not try to hold the spleen in his hand as he runs
routes.
What
a great quote, by the way.
Or tape it up, if that's medically possible, as Martellus so comically put the other day. I thought it was actually two very funny lines. But you'll get that CT scan today. And look, a spleen is something you can't mess around with here. So if this thing isn't healed, he gets hit in the wrong spot, that thing ruptures. You're not talking football injury. You're talking, let's get him to the hospital to save his life scenario here. So if you're the Cowboys, you got to be careful with this guy. He's going to want to play. That's the type of guy Jason Witten is. But this is a situation where you're going to have to save these players from themselves.
I'll be real surprised if he plays. I think the Cowboys are going to take the conservative approach.
He has practice limited 2 straight days. No contact, but he has practice limited the last 2 days.
Well, we'll see what that CT scan shows. If there's a chance that he can re-aggravate that injury, you got to look past football at this point. And that means that they probably turn to John Phillips, who is nowhere near Jason Witten. He does have experience.
I bet you they wish they had Martellus Bennett back.
In this situation, they certainly would have liked a guy like Martellus Bennett, who knows the playbook and can fill right in for Jason Witten and give you blocking on the line. Because remember, you know, we talked about the Giants' offensive line, John. Another facet to this game, Cowboys' offensive line. A lot of question marks as to whether or not they will be able to protect Tony Romo. And if there's anything that gets this Giants' defense going, I don't need to convince the fan base, it's that front four. I think they could very well have a field day if the Cowboys don't protect Robo.
And we will get to more of that in just a second. But first, back to our calls in New Jersey. It's Justice. What's going on, Justice?
How you doing?
Truth, justice, in the American way.
What you got, Justice?
I wanted to know if Reuben Randall was going to be getting reps at the third wide receiver spot as well as Dominic Hixon.
I think you'll see some of Reuben Randall out there. I think Hickson's going to be the primary guy because he has a better grasp of the playbook and Eli trusts him a little bit more. But I think Reuben Randall will get some looks there. Not in the slot. I think they'll use Cruz and Hicks in there, but I think you will see Randle outside, and they'll try to exploit some matchups and, you know, get him down the field and make some big plays.
All right, Justice, thanks for the phone call. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. We got some more questions and comments coming up on Twitter.
Yeah, pouring in now. I like it.
Sean Lang actually brings up an interesting question. If the Cowboys will be able to run the ball well against the Giants' defense. DeMarco Murray is healthy. Remember, he got hurt in the first matchup against the Giants in Week 14 last season, did not play in the Week 17 matchup. After Murray, you've got Felix Jones, who had a dismal performance in the preseason, came in out of shape, and then you've got Philip Tanner. Murray's a power back. He can also catch the football out of the backfield. But once again, it goes back to the Cowboys' offensive line. They moved Tryon to the left side this year to protect Romo's blind side. Phil Costa has had his ups and downs at center. They've been barely able to hike the football consistently well. There's some question marks with this Cowboys offensive line. To me, how well the line plays will determine not just how well the Cowboys are going to play in this first week, but whether or not they're going to be a true threat to the Giants and the Eagles in the division.
True. The Giants also have some depth issues at defensive tackle. So, obviously, Linval Joseph has turned into a extremely good and solid football player at tackle. I'm not worried about that. But how many snaps can Rocky Bernard give you at his age? Can he give you that many snaps? You're going to see a lot of JPP and Tuck inside. And if that's the case, how good are they going to hold up against the bigger interior linemen rather than being outside against the tackle? So, I think that's something else that you'd look at. You talk to Coach Coughlin, he's worried about DeMarco Murray. He knows that running the football can change the entire dynamic of an offense. Everyone saw how much better the Cowboys were last year when they ran the ball. Everyone saw how much better the Giants were last year when they were able to run the ball. So Romo, receivers, all that good stuff, sacking the quarterback, mission number one for the Giants is still stop the run. Because if DeMarco Murray gets going, it could be a big trouble for this defense.
One of the biggest struggles the Giants had early last season was stopping the run. We saw Fred Jackson have a big game. We saw Marshawn Lynch have some big runs and big games. So they know that in order to take away the balance of the opposing offense and make them one-dimensional, they have to limit the damage on the ground. You're right to bring up the question marks regarding the defensive tackle spot, but you know what? If they put Tuck and they put JPP inside, I wouldn't mind to see them experiment a little because, you know what, even though they may not have the size to match up with a guard, they certainly have the speed and the maneuvers to get around those guys. So, you know what, if you don't feel too confident in the depth that you have, and Rocky Bernard has played, how many snaps he can go, that's a whole other question. But it's not as, once again, as if they're throwing out a rookie. And then once do you put in Marcus Kuhn? Do you maybe throw him into the mix? I don't know how much of a factor he'll be early on in the season with respect to the game plan. But I think the Giants have some depth at other positions where they can mix and match and get creative. Remember that NASCAR package that they like to throw out? Mm-hmm. Who's to say they don't turn back to that if they want to try to get past that Dallas offensive line? You got to test the Dallas offensive line. Whether or not you have the right personnel in the place, give them different looks and see how they react. Because if you get Romo on the floor, that's going to hurt the running game, and if you stop the running game, that's going to hurt Romo. The things go hand in hand.
And really, it's not a sexy thing to talk about necessarily, but the Cowboys' offensive line here, if I was to pick one part of this game tomorrow night that could affect the outcome, it would be the play of that Cowboys' offensive line. From last year, you're only going to have one guy playing in the same spot, and that's Phil Costa at center, who, by the way, only had about 12 snaps in the preseason, undrafted free agent last year. So, boy, how good is he going to be? You have Teron Smith and Doug Free swapping on the outside. Smith going to left tackle, where he's going to be great for a long time. And him and JPP are going to have some great battles over the next 10 years. It's going to be just fun to watch. On the right side, you're going to have Doug Free, who had a bad year at left tackle last year. The Cowboys hope he improves moving to the right side. And then you have Bernadeau and Livings, the two guys they brought in at guard, veterans that have started games in this league. They've played for Callahan before, the Cowboys' offensive line coach. They think they can be an improvement over the variety of guys throughout their last year with Kyle Kozar. Arkin was there, guard Kowalski. They think those guys can be improvements. But all five guys have not played together at any point so far in the preseason. As you mentioned so many times, Lance, and it's a great point, you need continuity with your offensive line group, experience playing together, understanding how to work as a unit. The Cowboys haven't had that. And if the Giants have a strength, it's their pass rush. Everyone knows that. So if the Cowboys' offensive line don't get their act together quickly, and they might not, this game could get ugly for Romo early. He might be on the ground an awful lot.
And you could point to the Giants as an example about, you know, some of the issues that you have when you don't have five guys on the line. I think you're looking at the Brandon Stokley comment.
Yes.
I figured that was what you were doing. I told you, Devin Scott,
Devin Scott's on fire. He is.
You know, if Brandon Stokley was 6'6", he'd be the MVP of the league. Can't argue with that. Big fan of his commentary today. It's added a new facet to the show.
Devin, he's done a good job.
And he gets you worked up, which I'm a big fan of.
Yes,
so, Devin, continue to do that. I will sit back and relax. But getting back to the offensive line, remember, last year early on, the Giants had issues because they moved a lot of guys around, and you didn't see them come to full form until midseason, the latter part of the year, where all of a sudden everybody's healthy, everybody knows their schemes, everybody knows their positions.
Right.
Dallas is somewhat similar. And you know what? Even big picture, forget just the week one matchup, John. The play of the offensive line, specifically in a division like this, is key because Philly's got pass rushers. The Redskins have pass rushers, Brian Arakpo, Trent Cole for Philly.
Babin.
The Giants, Dallas has pass rushers. If you don't have a good offensive line, you have no shot at competing in this division.
And your quarterback's not going to last the whole year either. I mean, look at Michael Vick last year, in and out of the lineup. Tony Romo got beat up last year as well. The year before, he obviously missed the last six games, basically ended the Cowboys' season. The Giants have been lucky. Not lucky in the fact that they've protected Eli Manning well, which they have, but lucky in the fact that when he has gotten hit, for example, against the 49ers last year, he has those Manning genes that you're just durable. You don't get hurt. Obviously, it eventually caught up with Peyton last year, but Eli just always gets up. And it's really hard to overlook how important that is. He always gets up and he always keeps playing.
And part of that is also the decision-making of the quarterback.
Yep.
Knowing when to get rid of the football, knowing when to take a hit, and being in a position that you can absorb that. Some other quarterbacks will try to fight for the extra yard. As a result, they hurt their ribs, and you miss your quarterback for a couple of weeks. So, you know, Eli Manning, just in his overall decision-making, has been key in keeping him healthy. But the bottom line is, across the board within this division, if you don't have good offensive line play, that team is going to struggle, and it will be very interesting to see how this Cowboys line reacts to the pressure that the Giants are going to bring, specifically since they haven't had a continuous preseason from game to game where the same five guys have been on the field. And remember, Romo's a guy that likes to run around. You know, he doesn't mind taking hits, but if he stays back in the pocket, you don't give him enough time to throw the football, that's going to help the Giants secondary out, which is certainly a group of players that are looking to make a name for themselves after an inconsistent performance last season.
All right, Lance, give me your prediction for tonight. No, don't give me a prediction. That's
tonight?
Tomorrow, whatever. You get the point.
What is there, a scrimmage game tonight? 6'6" guys, we're going to put them all out on the field?
All right, give me your one key for the Giants to win the game tomorrow night against Dallas. The one thing they need to do.
I think they need to stop the run and get to Tony Romo.
That's two things. I said give me one.
I think they go hand in hand. The pressure stops the run, and the pressure gets to Romo.
So now if you were smart, you would have went with dominate the line of scrimmage, because that would have included both stopping the run and getting to Tony Romo.
Win the battle at the line of scrimmage. Those words now have come out of my mouth. Do you feel better now? Can you sleep well tonight? Can roll around a couple of times?
All right. Well, you're going with that. No, I can't go with, you know. Smack Romo around. That's what
you
I was going
to call it.
You've
got to be creative.
I'm going to have to mix it up a little bit here. All right, I'm going to go with, and winning the turnover battle is too vague and boring, so I can't go with that either.
Might as well tweet Z's next to that comment.
Exactly. So I'm going to go with continue to dominate the Cowboys through the air. The way the Giants beat the Cowboys last year was throwing the Knicks, throwing the Cruz, making big plays down the field. Even though they have improved in the secondary, we've talked about it all show, Claiborne, Brandon Carr, Sensabaugh, Church, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. Rob Ryan's still going to blitz like crazy. That's what he does, all right? If you can protect Eli Manning, you can get the ball down the field. I don't care how good these corners are. If they're a man-to-man island coverage against good wide receivers like Cruz and Knicks, eventually they're going to get beat. So the Giants have to take advantage of those opportunities when they get beat and make those big plays down the field. The Giants are no longer a pound-it-out, grind-it-out, 3 yards and a cloud of dust offense. They need to make big plays down the field. So you'll need to do that against Dallas and that revamped secondary if you want to beat them. Knicks, Cruz, Eli. Just listen to Coach Belichick. This is a Cruz and Knicks football game. That's how the Giants beat the Dallas Cowboys.
One quick side note regarding Dallas being a team that likes to blitz, that will determine how many snaps David Wilson gets. Because if they bring a lot of pressure to Eli Manning and David Wilson can't handle that with his assignments, you may not see too much of David Wilson. Remember, Darrell Scott had that flash, had that excitement. Why did he not get on the field? He was not very good at pass protection. So keep that in mind, Giants fans, if you don't see a lot of David Wilson tomorrow night.
Here's and you're bringing an interesting point. I want to build on this a little bit here. Do you think there's a chance we'll actually see Bradshaw a little bit more on third down and in passing situations because of the pass protection, and maybe you'll see more of David Wilson on first down than you might think?
Absolutely. I don't see why you wouldn't, given that the fact that Dallas is going to bring the pressure. It's no secret. Rob Ryan, everywhere he has gone, likes to blitz.
Yes, he does.
So that means that the extra layer of defense is the running back. And if there's one guy on this team that has the most experience in consistency in that department, it's Ahmad Bradshaw. Andre Brown and David Wilson don't necessarily have as many reps as Bradshaw and have not picked up the playbook as much as Bradshaw. So that's that's why you'd have to put Bradshaw out in those situations, or else Manning is going to be in trouble.
Lance, it was a pleasure. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Look forward to recapping the game with you on Thursday.
We will be back on Thursday morning with another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. And, of course, Lance will be with you throughout the game on Wednesday night with the interactive game feed. We're going to get everything tested out today, Lance. Johnny Vasquez, the man who runs your show here, he's going to come out a little test. We're going to try to get everything squared away with
the
ISDN in the studio.
Well.
Occasionally, I try to do some work around here.
You're still not in preseason form.
And not just get mad about six guys. Exactly. So we're going to get everything squared away. Lance will be on, 45 minutes?
A half hour before kickoff.
So 8 o'clock. Lance will be with you. 8
and
o'clock
then
on Wednesday night.
Full post game following the game.
Full post game. That'll be like basically until the phone calls stop coming in.
We may go about an hour 45 to 2 hours easily.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it'll be a lot of happy Giant fans coming our way after that preseason game. Lance loves taking those happy Giant fan phone calls.
Absolutely.
So we'll make sure we have some fun with that after the game on Wednesday night. Everybody, thanks for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Excellent job by all the callers. And me and Nina Marks will be with you tomorrow morning for a full preview of the game against the Dallas Cowboys. Make sure you listen and call on then. And then again, Lance and I will recap the game on Thursday morning. And Marks and Dottino will be with you on Friday morning until we finally get into a regular schedule next week when you actually play a football game on Sunday, something we haven't done so far this season. And then, of course, we have Carolina on Thursday the next week, so things get screwed up again. But
so it'll be a tease for 1 week.
It is a tease for 1 week. That's what it is. But anyway, Lance, appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Have a good one.
And that's all the time we have for Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. We'll see you tomorrow morning.